I was a soldier.
I thought that was a fencing reference, but I was...
That was real. This is real. This is real talk.
You were a soldier?
For 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could still whip his ass.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
David Parrish, it is our last episode.
Last one.
We are going out with a bang. David went on a mission. We found where the AI lives.
Downstairs.
We have kidnapped the AI, and we are going to have a podcast with AI.
And it turns out that AI
is that what we're doing? Is that how AI works?
It turns out that AI's got a human face.
Oh. We are welcomed by Anand Rati from Algamage. Did I say that right?
Absolutely.
Oh, finally.
Well,
finally
done.
At the last episode, I get something right.
For a space home run.
David, what do I win?
You win a trip to no more podcasts after this.
All right. So I have to ask before we get into this, are you real? Are you AI? Are you a person?
No, it's just a synthetic.
Synthetic.
Hologram you're looking at.
He's a computer wearing
a meat
skin.
They have sent the AI to us. Now they're at the conventions.
Yeah. I mean, it's 100% real for now, but a lot of what I do is somewhere on the boundary of what's real and what's generated. It wasn't the plan always, but here I am talking to two real guys, and I'm 100% real as of now.
As of now. We get the warning.
So you're the founder of a company, a new company, and
that's right.
You guys deal in the AI. You conjure the AI. You've captured it, wrangled it, and turned it into, you domesticated it.
Absolutely.
What are the words I need to be using?
Domesticated was what I'd go with, because I was just looking to conquer that beast out there, but in a very photography perspective, if you would, right? There's so many other applications, but somewhere event photography, portrait photography just seemed to have missed that AI bus for a long time. And this is, I'm talking 2 years ago. So I just decided to get my hands dirty, brush up the old engineering degree, get the dust off, and get down to work. So it took me about 2 years, and here we are.
So you started as a photographer.
I started as an engineer right out of college. I grew up in India, attended one of those, if you've ever heard of the stereotypical Indian student journey, you know, you got to beat like 100,000 others to get that one seat. I did that journey.
Oh, I've never heard that.
So
sarcasm. Sorry.
But right out of college, the only thing I took back from engineering was this deep-found love for maths and finance. So I was trading futures and options right out of college, and I really loved that. So decided to just go down that rabbit hole, which got me to New York. I spent about a couple of years, attended grad school here in New York, and then out of grad school, I was just your regular corporate treasury guy, 9 to 5, doing the grind, hedging, currencies and Brazilian reals to Aussie dollars, which is as boring as it sounds. And somewhere there was this one, small artist inside that just wanted to create. And all I knew was maths and physics. So the thing that came most naturally to sort of pick up was photography. So I just left my corporate job one day, moved to Bombay, like 20,000 people move every single day, and decided, hey, let me just try this for 1 year. Worst case, if my resume is dented, I just go back. If it's done and beyond repair, then, I'll figure out another path. And that was my sort of six-month tryst that was to happen. It's been about 11 years now. So resume is dented beyond repair. But that got me going into photography in a very self-taught manner. I had no background. I had no, zero knowledge of how this thing works. But I could see the camera as a device. I could see the mats working out. You know, that ISO and shutter and, the f-stop triangle, that just came naturally to me from day one. So I still consider myself more of a technical guy than an artist. I mean, there's so many more talented people out there. But when it came to understanding the math of it, it just came in naturally. And that journey sort of, got me started on my photography company, which was a mom and pop store, you know, working out of one single bedroom in Bombay. And I was a chief everything, right? Chief floor mopper to chief photographer. And my wife was the editor. So we've co-founded that thing together. And we now are a small organization. I'd say we are about 42 people. We shoot weddings. Almost 100% of what we do is weddings. And in the last 10 years, we've seen the great Indian wedding circus from the front row seats. So that's been exciting. And about 2 years ago, I just sort of transitioned.
Hey, what's the great Indian wedding circus?
All right, let me
tell us non-wedding shooters and non-Indians what we're dealing with.
All right, we're dealing with, so this is one that that actually started the whole AI journey. It was this one wedding that I shot, which is the last wedding I actually shot, was this guy named Akash Ambani. He's the heir to a company called Reliance, which is owned by a gentleman who's the seventh richest in the world right now. So you're talking about someone who's in India on a global top 10 list, and he's hosting a wedding for his son. So we had, let me try and remember, we had 13,000 guests.
Oh, it's
spread over 8 days. We had Adam Levine come in, Beyonce come in for entertainment. It was...
Queen B.
This was a wedding.
This was a wedding. This was...
8 days of wedding. I can't... I did one, and it wasn't even a whole day. Like...
Yeah.
No. I say no.
This was like a marathon, man. This is, you know, you show up at like 8 in the morning, and you might be up there to like 4, and you still got 1,000 people hanging out.
Yeah.
At so many places.
I've been to one Indian wedding. It's the best. It was 7 days long.
It was seven
it
days?
It was great, yeah. It was split up between Bogota, because it was half Indian, half Colombian.
Okay.
One of my college like best friends is Indian. And it was so Bogota, and it was like, I mean, there was parties every day. And then it was, the Indian version was in L.A. Oh, great time.
Y'all
know how to party. I want to have an Indian wedding. It was way better than our weddings.
Yeah, it's a project, man. But it's exciting at the same time. It challenges you as an artist, because you're working with a team of 30 photographers. You're like single-handedly controlling where everyone's going to be. You got to be very precise with your movement.
So you're more of a producer at that point than you are a photographer.
Yeah. I mean, so here's one of the briefs that came from the client that, listen, on the wedding day when the ceremony's happening, we got to be having like VIP guests. We got to be having the sheikhs flown in and the sultan of somewhere. So we don't want the photographers to be moving around. But we still want these, you know, moments to be captured well. How do you do that? So, okay, where's the ceremony happening? It's here. How far is everybody seated? It's about 100 yards. So... how are you going to do that? So we were shooting on 600 F2 with a teleconverter.
Jeez.
Right? And that also wasn't enough. But then again, you know, your whole perception of an Indian wedding changes, because most people would think Indian weddings are mostly chaotic and it's all over the place, which is fun. But this takes the whole, you know, experience or the whole production into the next level. I was shooting, but we got all our walkie-talkies, so we're communicating. You know exactly what's happening when. So it was fun. It was like shooting a Netflix docu, if you would. But the curveball happened a week post the wedding. This guy calls me up, and you're talking to like the world's something-something richy guy, right? And he calls me up and gives me one-line message. Could you make sure all the guests at the wedding, 13,000 of them, get their images individually? I don't want a big link going out. I don't want people to be going through 30,000 images. I'm not going to be doing this whole sorting activity of, you know, David was here, and so let me pick 5 of David and send him over on whatever, Gmail, WeTransfer. Like, hold on. Are you telling me I'm supposed to go...
find each individual person...
right, across...
In how many images? Like 30,000.
Find a way to tag them.
Yeah. And this is 300,000 RAWs, which we boiled down to 30,000 edits. And... we just got to make...
30,000 edits?
Yeah.
How many shooters are there?
30.
30. All right.
30,000
edited images. Yeah. Single wedding.
All right, so how did you identify who people were? Did you have everyone hold up a sign?
Right? Yeah.
On the napkin? Like,
exactly. QR code. Each person has their own individual
exactly.
QR
so
code.
So I was like, we should have done a mugshot session before this thing began. Now yeah. We're talking... post the wedding. And at that point, I realized this is such a common ask, and it's going to become more common as the days go by, because in the world of Instagram or WhatsApp or Facebook, everybody wants their images and everybody wants them yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you tackle this beast? So I just went back to my engineering roots, wrote down a prototype that allowed us to detect everybody using facial recognition, but in a super secure and private way. So you couldn't be accessing or pretending that you're him. You just get your images. And the idea was to make it so fast that it could sift to 30,000 images in like a second. So that took me about a month to do.
And why then, so long?
Because you're dealing.
I was just working a month, really? That was it?
What? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a funny show, David.
It's no, the month was long enough because you're dealing with expectation pressure, right? A month and a week gone by to the biggest wedding that ever took place in India. Everybody's on the edge. When are our pictures coming? And I'm the single man, entitled with the responsibility of doing this. So whatever, I got done with that, and then what we did, the solution that came out was, we sent out a link to everyone, which when you open on your mobile device, it asks you to enter your name and email address, and then it takes a facial scan. It scans about 40 vector points on your face, and wherever you may be in those 30,000 images, you may be in a grip and grin shot, you may be up front, you may be in the back, blurred out, it'll find you. And the first time we did it, it worked with about 92% accuracy, which is good enough. So now it became, the aha moment was when I started getting inquiries back from the same people who saw the images that I clicked, saying, hey, listen, for the first time, I actually got to see my images without having to go through those hundreds. And it was so fast. We have a gig coming up. We'd love to have you overshoot it. Like, hold on. Are you giving me business by
your app?
Are you giving me business because I was just able to share these same images, which I was doing for 10 freaking years? I've always done that. Where were you? So that bridge that AI sort of helped close really became this marketing aha moment, because it was money in from day one. And then we tried it over for a few more weddings in the photography company, and we realized this is way bigger than the photography company. This could become a thing in its own. So then began the journey of sharing using AI, which then we started to backtrack that, hey, sharing an image after a month is not fun enough. Sharing an image after 8 hours is, but how do I go through the culling process, the editing process, and then deliver it? This is real time. And that's where the company started off, and it's been 2 years in making. Today we can process out an entire wedding in a matter of 5 hours, just the way the humans would. So that's the kind of AI that we bring to the table.
Okay, so how did the company start? So you have this idea and this software. What were the next steps? The first 6 months of this company, what did that look like?
So the first 6 months, we felt we've just discovered fire. This is a great marketing tool. We're getting so many more inquiries. So let's just do that for all our clients. But when you're doing it for your clients, they eventually go out, and when they meet another photographer, they say, listen, you want to Anand shot my wedding, and Anand shot my cousin's wedding, and I got the images back in a day. Can you do that? The other guy's like, sorry, there's no tech out there that enables me to do that. I mean, I can't do iPhotos for you, because who has the time to sort of wait for Apple to identify the images, then tag them, then find your email IDs? So that's not happening. There's no other tech. So this guy rings me up, dude, listen, somebody you met, somebody you did the service for came to me. Can you do that for me? Okay, I'll do that for you. Let's make an account. Let's do this. Second guy, third guy. When we hit our 10th guy in a matter of about 10 days, that time we knew this has to be its own thing. It can be. It's becoming its own thing. So now it's just come to that point where once you experience it, you don't want to be going back to.
And at that point, are you charging these guys that were calling you up? Or were you just being like, yeah, I'll help you out?
Yeah. I mean, initially and always, much like it's a pay you back for the whole community in general. I thought if it helps somebody get more business because of some work I had to do for somebody else, it's a great thing. It's like payback. I'm getting to, contribute back to the community. But then the server costs started to rise up, right? So at that point, I've hired a data scientist on board, and then I hired two of them. So now to sort of bootstrap this thing, and I said, hey, listen, dude, I know it's helping you out. Would you mind sort of paying for it? And how would that look? He's like, dude, are you kidding me? I would totally pay for this. If not for this, I'm either relying on word of mouth or I'm going on Facebook and Instagram to promote my business. That's costing me a shit ton of money. So this completely works. And that's where we sort of formulated it as a company. And then we worked to get the AI accuracy up. So we started with about 92, 95%. We're right now at 99.4, which is right in the Facebook and Google territory.
Wow.
So I took a demo of this. I took a ride with it. And some of the things, I mean, the app thing was pretty impressive to be able to just, hey, I just took your photos. I, you know, opened up the link I was sent. It scanned my face and then it found my photos. But, you know, there was only three back-to-back photos. What I loved about it is this culling process that it does automatically for you. So it basically would, it seemed like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would go through all the images.
Yeah.
If somebody's eyes are closed or whatever the sliders are that I've determined, you know, that I don't want to see, it was finding the best image out of this batching. I could still open the batch and see like, but it was narrowing it down and saying, this is by the settings you've given me, this is the best image for you based on what you told me to have. And I was just like, man, like even as a guy who just shoots more portraitures and more like editorial kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like if I mean, models blink too. It's crazy, right? Yeah. But so if I could just cull it down and be like, oh, well, I'm not going to use this image. It's making it my job easier. So what I love about this story so far, and I didn't get to hear this story before, is problem exists. You just happen to be a former engineer in it, but like problem exists as a photographer and you figured out how to use AI to solve it. And I think as we've continued to talk to some photographers who are very much against AI, I feel like this is what you're not getting, is that there's a pain point for you and AI is basically the digital assistant that's going to help you solve that pain point.
It's the best employee you can ever hire, right? Works 24/7, doesn't take a break, works faster than you humanly can. And at some point, it's actually helping you either getting your time back, getting that client experience game way higher, or in the case of the sharing product, helping you monetize on the images which would have never reached the attendees. So it's business in, time saved from day one. That was the whole save time, grow business. That's literally our tagline for the business.
So when it gets shared, it gets shared, does the people who like attended the event, do they have to buy the image for you, or can they just like view a digital copy, download it, and then print it or whatever? Or can they, or is there like a point of sale process that they come back to you and say, I want to buy this image of me and my spouse at said wedding?
Yeah. So I'll give you a case study of both the models that exist. There is the, I'm the photographer. I was hired for this event, so I'm not going to charge the guests, or I'm not going to charge. I was hired for the corporate headshot gig, so I'm not going to charge the employees that came in and got their headshots done. There's the other side where just recently happened. Have you heard of Lollapalooza, the mm-hmm. music festival?
Yeah, of course.
I've been eight times.
Yeah.
Eight times?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lolla happened for the first time in India this year in January. We had 60,000 attendees coming in on 2 days, over 2 days. We had Imagine Dragons and the likes.
India gets down on parties, I'm telling you. 60,000 people, a 13,000 party wedding? Like, y'all get down.
Yeah.
Yeah, people is our best produce. So people's never a problem. But the thing was, as a concert attendee, if you're going to whatever concert you're going for, you're getting clicked by a ton of professional photographers. I mean, there are marketing agencies out there doing that job already for you. You want to be posting that content on Instagram right now. Like, you literally entered from the turnstile at 4 p.m. You're at the main stage at 7. You want to be posting at 7:05. You want to show the world how cool that was. So what we did is, and we were working with what is the Live Nation for India. Like, you have Live Nation in the United States. We have something called Book My Show in India.
Do you hate them as much as we hate Live Nation?
Yeah.
And Ticketmaster? Is there the same hatred?
A little less. They don't bump up the prices as much, but they're always sold out. So there's always this.
There's something funny going on with that. Now everything's sold out. And then now they're just more expensive on the other platform that they also own.
Yeah.
Thank God we don't have a Viagogo or one of those websites, a reseller. That's not allowed in India as of now. Ugh. So it's only this one Live Nation. But the good thing is, this guy is running like a monopolistic setup where every attendee is going through his platform buying the tickets. So anytime an attendee was buying a ticket, he was getting an email saying, get your personal paparazzi at Lollapalooza, scan this code, and register your face.
They follow you around?
No. It's even better. He's saying like all these shooters are out there.
All the shooters are.
They're going to scan your face and find you in the crowd.
So you get your face scanned, and you haven't showed up at the concert yet, right? So it says, thank you so much. Make sure to get clicked a lot, and we'll make sure you get your images or memories from Lollapalooza. So you show up at the concert. They're cool installations. There's so many artwork around to get clicked at. Photographers everywhere generally, right? So photographer clicks you. Say he clicks 5 images. You blinked in 2. Doesn't matter. From the camera, via an FTP server, those images hit our servers. The AI selects the best one out, weeds out not the nice ones, applies an edit on them just like we as humans would. So there's zero tech involved. Like, no tech is sitting on ground for this. It's all happening on cloud. And then the image finally hits our sharing server. So you could be, you know, you got shot at 4 o'clock. 4:05, you get a message on your phone saying, hey, we found a few images for you. Would you like to check them out? There you are. Like, 5 minutes from getting clicked to getting delivered in a concert that has like 60,000 people. Of course, it comes with a Disneyland style watermark, so you can pay to remove that. And people were just paying by the dozens because everyone wants that.
They want to share instantly.
Exactly, the now experience.
Where do the photos that don't make the cut go to live?
They just don't end up getting used. That's it.
They get stored but not used.
Do you delete them?
We are GDPR compliant, so we're actually holding no data on our servers. We're not holding your facial data on our servers. We're not selling the data to someone else. I mean, just as we went further into the process of developing the AI, we realized there are a lot of red tapes that you want to avoid. You don't want to be storing facial data.
Yeah.
That's a big no. Your servers have to be super secure. You have to have liveness detection to make sure someone's not pretending to be some other person and getting access to data. So that's what took us most time, really, to get that right. And now we are, you know, serving from elite weddings to concerts. You know, their use cases is all.
Do you have nightmares or lose sleep over, like, oh, what if it starts deleting all the good photos? And you're like, you wake up in a cold sweat. You're like, oh, the good photos were deleted.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
I had that once. Happen? And then I had to code down things that prevented it from happening. But the good thing, and David here saw the workflow, is it's completely non-destructive, which means we're not actually deleting any photo. We're giving the photographer every opportunity to come back, see what the AI has done. And if in case the photographer actually says, you know what, I know you said this image is not as good, but I think otherwise, so I'm going to uprate it, right? I'm going to make it from 3-star to a 5-star. So what the AI does at that point is it takes that image, set of images, takes it back to our server, analyzes them, and understands why David made that decision. So the next time around you come back, the AI has just become smarter.
Right, it's machine learning.
It's machine learning. So the AI just gets better the more it gets used.
So there's the culling. You got algo cull. Then I see algo edit. And then you've got algo share. How are you? What's the sharing part? Are you letting like the people that get them edit?
No, that's the link. So like that's the link to scan your face and get your photos.
No, but are there bells and whistles to the share? Like, what else is there?
Oh, like can the consumer put on a different filter? Let's say.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be doing that on Instagram anyways. No matter how much you edit,
download and then they do whatever.
So the person that gets the images, no matter how they're getting it, do they have any options for like editing or just download and that's it?
Just download for now, but eventually the long-term vision is, remember, we are also collecting edit information from professional photographers. So David here is an expert in portraiture, right? I'm a guy sitting halfway across the world somewhere in Ukraine. I mean, not Ukraine. Somewhere in...
You could be in Ukraine. They're tight as shit. I used to live in that area of the world. Those dudes are badass. Shout out to Ukraine. Shout out to Ukraine.
Hey, you guys are holding on well.
Yeah, keep it going.
I'm
very pro-Ukraine.
So, say I'm sitting somewhere in Ukraine, right? I'm in Kiev, and I'm just starting out. I have no idea how Lightroom works. I have no idea on how to edit my images to make them look like David's. But here's the catch. David's already on the platform. His intelligence, quote-unquote, is being stored as an encrypted model. So for a little extra, you can actually select a filter that says David's night style edit, right? And now you could throw in your images and it'll edit them as if David was editing.
Wait,
them.
Do I get credit for that as a user?
Absolutely. Or? You get a commission on the
Can
extra
talk
that
about
they pay.
David's night style edit? What's this like?
I don't know.
What's your night style edit like?
Hey, it's nighttime right now. We're about to go find out.
Are there really cool blues in the shadows and
there's things that
red
we can't
tones,
even talk about?
A lot of velvet.
There's I call it the Vegas underbelly.
Overgrained.
Yeah. Every image comes with the background music.
So yeah. that's even cooler. So you basically, as a content creator, you've built in a marketplace type setting, so I could basically sell my style profile for other people and get a kickback.
Exactly, and that
I predicted it on the last podcast.
Exactly, like Look we actually this. Just talked about this
Don't leave
like
me hanging.
5 seconds ago.
Don't leave me hanging.
Yeah, with Sanjay, we were talking and we Love were theorizing
I mean,
this.
Right?
We were like,
I mean,
yeah, what would
think
happen?
About having the ability, not just the flexibility, the ability to edit like Sanjay, who's a seasoned professional. But you're just starting out. Would you pay a little extra for that? Sure, get me going. And the consumer version now becomes, what's the biggest problem today with the consumers? They shoot too much because memory's cheap and the phone clicks real fast. And then they never get back to selecting or editing them because that's too much of a task.
Yeah.
The long-term vision on the consumer side is to have a mobile version of the app residing and doing the same thing. So you come back from your Hawaii holiday, click 200 pictures, you have zero time to go over them. Just press a button, the AI selects the best ones. Now you put Sanjay's style of edit on that. So now you're editing from your phone, Sanjay style. So
Sanjay style. That's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
The Sanjay sauce.
and when you click that, you automatically get a sports coat, a nice
sign
watch.
Me up.
Nice
that on
hairdo.
Board.
You get hairdo. Your beard gets trimmed perfectly.
I think
your
he's
eyebrows
AI.
Are plucked.
I think he's AI.
Yeah, like so, that would be so cool though. You just push the Sanjay style and just, poof, you get a makeover.
Yeah, can't wait for a trip next week.
I know. So I mean, we've been embracing the AI movement, and
yeah, you guys been killing it.
Well, I mean, like I think. I mean, we're not creating it. We're using it, and I think, I mean, we've seen a lot of pushback from the photography community already, in saying like, oh, AI is stealing jobs, AI is going to take away my, like a lot of fear mongering. So, what do you say to photographers as a photographer when they start saying AI is the devil?
Well, reminds me of this Joe Rogan and Elon podcast where. Joe just went all out saying, by creating driverless cars, you're essentially putting the chauffeurs out of job, right? But think about it this way. It's coming one way or the other. It's an Elon doing it or Ford doing it. It's coming. It has its benefits, right? And the benefits start to far outweigh the loss that it might be making to selected few. And that's the same thing. It's going to happen with photography. It's going to happen with art in so many forms. Our idea is not to take away human jobs, but to actually give them their time back so that they could be doing something that's above the current pay scale, right? You're enabling a community to rise up from doing mundane, repetitive jobs.
And even beyond that, I feel like a lot of times photographers are like these solopreneurs, right? Like they're these people that are, like you said earlier, I'm the chief mop floor guy to the chief photographer and everything in between.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more that photographers understand that, one, you can't be an expert of everything, right?
Exactly.
So you're doing so many tasks, probably not to the best of your ability because you need to do it. You're a small company that you at least are telling yourself you can't afford to hire other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, these programs, this machine learning is really a way to keep your style and keep your art, but you're telling the machine and you're letting the machine learn how to do you so that you can, you know, buy back more of your freedom. Like, I'm going to give you money so that I can have more time, I don't know, go to soccer games with my kids.
Exactly. I mean, we brought up the kids example because any photographer worth their value in salt will tell you that the one thing that takes photography is this art that just consumes you, it immolates you, right? You got to go all in, and that takes away time from your family. It takes away the time from your camera. Think about it this way. You started off thinking you're going to be shooting all, you know, you're going to be out on that beach and shooting the beautiful sunsets. here you are spending the time in front of your computer. So why is that disconnect happening? And then if that eventually might lead to more issues. You know, you hit that curve, right? We all know that curve where you think you're having the time of your life, and at some point you feel like you're in the worst profession ever and you're better off doing something else. It's just taking too much of your time. That's what we're giving back.
Right.
So in 5 years, where is this company going to be, and what are you going to do to beat out the competition, which there's going to be a lot? So how are you going to be there in 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, I mean, I truly believe that the photography community deserves a lot more value for everything that they do, the time they put in, the skills they carry. I mean, we're out there creating lifelong memories for people, be it portraiture, be it weddings, be it events of any kind. So we need to really up our game to meet the client expectations, to really get that, to command that value, right? I mean, you could be smart, somebody like Sanjay, right? Genius marketing guy, right? But not everybody gets to get there, right? So you got to enable people to reach the pinnacle of their career very quickly without having to do the grind. And that's what we are out there to enable. But in terms of the long-term vision, I see this becoming a tool that bridges the gap between what is and what can be in terms of photography, right? I mean, think of generative AI. We had a discussion about that. 5 years from now, especially, I'm really worried for the product guys. That's one thing that scares the shit out of me. That,
like product photographers?
Product photography.
Yeah, it's going to be done.
Right. So, I mean, you gotta think that what the big companies are going to come up with is, hey, listen, I have a new product launching, and I want this marketing campaign out in 2 days. That's all you got. That's where the AI game really will come in and tie everything together. I mean, podcasts. Now you got softwares that will auto-edit podcast episodes for you, right? One of them I know, like a good friend of mine, they got funded very well. And what they're making is you feed in a one-hour episode. It analyzes your speech patterns. It analyzes your pauses. It analyzes the content. And then it just auto-cuts that thing down to maybe a 10-minute episode. And then 1 minute for Instagram story. So that's where the future... Yeah, I'm gonna send you the link.
Yeah, please.
So that's where the world is heading with AI. For us, I think we'd love to be at the front seat of this thing. Our secret sauce, if you talk about us versus competition, is I think the fundamental thesis on which the company was founded is simple. We are photographers first and developers next, right? I think like a photographer. So when it comes to things like what rules do I apply for selecting an image versus rejecting an image, it's not the developer in me saying, hey, you know what, eyes closed, bad. Eyes open, good. No, any photographer will tell
you. One eye open, perfect.
eye open, winky winky.
With arms wide open. You love Creed, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You're welcome back anytime.
But yeah, I mean, so when you think of it as a photographer will tell you if someone's laughing real hard, their eyes will tend to appear closed, squinted and closed, right? And that's a great image. So the way we analyze images is like a photographer. The other softwares, at least what I've researched, they're very limited players to begin with. But whatever I could see, it looks like it was made by coders and not photographers. I guess I bridged that gap. And then again, we are a platform that's end to end. We are like running three companies within one company, if you would. There you'll find competition, maybe sharing or maybe editing or maybe selection, but then again, you don't go buy your burger from one shop, your fries from one, and your shake from another.
Speak for yourself.
Exactly.
I like to walk around. All right, so in 5 years, how many users do you think you'll have? Do you guys have projections? Are you thinking that far out?
Yeah. I mean, we're VC funded, so I'm
oh.
Yeah. So I have to think that those are the nightmares I still have.
Do you guys have like something like Shark Tank in India?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I know.
I know.
You've been on Shark Tank.
No, I wasn't super funded. Excited. That was below the belt. I wasn't funded on Shark Tank. So
dang it. Well, let's talk about it. What happened? Why weren't you funded? Let's repitch it.
All right. So I go in and I see these five people staring down at me. By the way, funny thing in Shark Tank, and this happens in the U.S. Shark Tank too. You know how when you telecast it, you see the contestant walk in.
Yeah.
And they just stand there. They play that boom, 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 boom. Music stops and he starts speaking. Now, in reality, after that boom, 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 boom stops, there is a 90-second pause for the cameras to adjust.
So is it the same music?
We have an Indianized version of it, but similar. Yeah, it has the all those trombones going on and everything. So it's intimidating. Let's call it intimidating music. It's not pleasant to walk into
so,
that music.
All right, so for the people listening that don't know the Shark Tank U.S. version, how does it go? Like, give me your best Shark Tank.
Right. Boom, 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 boom.
You could do better than that. Come boom, on. Boom. You're at like 60%. You can take it up a notch.
No, I did my best. At the end of a long day. But when that thing drops, right, it's 90 seconds of awkward silence, you staring at five guys who just want to rip every part of your business apart on national TV. So they're just, you know, pretending.
Is this a big show in India?
Yeah.
Is it caught on?
Yeah. I mean, it's caught on.
It's one of my favorites.
It's caught on and how, man. I think, so I've seen Shark Tank US videos versus the India ones. We're definitely getting more views. So,
oh, yeah.
So it was a big hit because, again, you got to think about where India is as a country today, right? You got 1 billion plus people there. The average age is 27. The median age is 27. You got this new wave of entrepreneurship. If you're a D2C brand, great. You got tons of customers to sell to. You're a tech brand, great. You got great brains to build it. So great place to be an entrepreneur. And that's where Shark Tank really took off. So I go in. This is an awkward silence. I pitch the product. These guys try it out. And they're like, we love the product. This changes the way we think of images coming on from, you know, events or products or this and that. Like, okay, this is going great. I'm getting money. And they're like, okay, so what are you raising? I'm like, XYZ. I'm like, what valuation? I'm like, this. I'm like, no.
We can't talk about it?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's
on national TV.
Drop the numbers. Don't make me go get this.
So I was like, I went in there for $100,000 for 1%. And these guys are like, what? How? And I'm like, guys, we've already raised funding before at similar valuations. So I'm not going a down round on this. Right? It may be national TV, but it's unfair to my existing investors.
And is there any revenue at that point?
No. We were early stage. We were, I'd say, just about to make revenue. This was about a year and a half ago. So it was super early stage. In VC world, this will be called seed or pre-seed funding. Yep. Right? But our VCs saw through the potential and they funded us the right amount at the right valuation. Again, I left a photography business, a well-running photography company of 40-odd people, and put my chips here because I totally see this going. So that's where the VCs, I guess, get caught convinced to. And the sharks wanted a very sharky deal. And that's where the valuation...
Was it a Kevin O'Leary deal? Or was it a royalty deal? It was, wasn't it?
I pitched them a Kevin O'Leary deal, but they all...
but they you were, tried to Kevin O'Leary somewhere
yeah,
else?
Yeah, I tried ballsy. The whole... I'm going to give you half of it in debt and half of it in this because I'm Mr. Wonderful. Yeah. I did that to them, but these guys were just out there to get pure equity. They didn't want nothing to do with debt. And that's where it didn't materialize for me. But from the marketing...
So you're looking for debt from them. Or you were trying to?
I was open to because I could actually service the debt. I could pay off the debt, the interest and everything. But at some point, they were like, nah, we want more share in the company. We don't want debt. We just want 10% of your company. I'm like, guys, that's going to cost a hell of a lot more.
So why not just go to a bank?
We did that. I mean,
they all say no because they didn't get it?
I mean, we're already VC funded, right? So the way the capital table works out is... Once you have some top VCs on your cap table, you want the next best. You want the Sequoias of the world coming in, right? That's where we're heading. So if you ask me 5 years down the line, that's where I think our story lies, that we get the funding that's required to break into the Adobe territory, right? That's what Figma did too, right? If you think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And they got acquired for what, $20 billion?
Yeah. So in really in 5 years, you've already sold for $20 billion and you're sitting on a beach someplace.
Yeah.
Sipping Mai Tais and you're done.
That would be the dream, but right. I'm not giving up on...
that's where I'd be going.
Yeah, I mean, that's where companies in tech startup, in deep learning for that matter, most companies get absorbed by bigger fish, but that's completely okay so long as...
As long as you get paid.
So long as you get paid and so long as they don't actually sack your company and just, you know, scrap the product.
Oh, so you wouldn't be okay with that? Even if you make money, you don't want to lose the product?
No, you don't want it because, you know... For somebody who's literally mopped the office floor and sees that happening to other photographers who are just starting out, the vision, the aim is clear. What drives me is empowering a community that deserves more recognition, more money for the amount of work that we put in. I mean, we are like military guys, right? Think about it. We are away from our family half the year.
Uniforms then? That yes. Matching uniforms? Uniform? We love matching uniforms. Sorry,
can I do that? No? Okay.
Maybe not.
A little lower. So, yeah.
So. That's the wrong kind of salute.
We apologize for anybody watching here.
For everybody that's watching, that was Germany. That was, yeah, he was not going for the German salute.
I think he was going for the salute. Is this the salute?
I was going on the mic, the wires. Is this entangled?
They do have the salutes that's not the German salutes where people just do like the.
What's the Indian salute?
What's the Indian military?
Same thing.
So,
you know where it comes from?
I was doing that. My hand got entangled.
Are there any countries that have a weird salute that's completely different than the normal salute? Like,
I want to know what North Korea's look like.
They have the hands palms up, and
that looks something like I've seen that in maybe Thailand. I think they do that, and then the Japanese have this. Like that's how you pay respect to someone.
Yeah. Do you know where it all comes from? You know where the salute comes from?
It's where everything comes from. Mordor. Yeah. Right,
so it was from
Tom Cruise
from wearing a helmet with a visor, and you would be raising your eyes to show your opponent like your eyes. You had to raise the visor, so when you met somebody that you respected, you were lifting up your visor and therefore offering salute.
Soldier,
that was a soldier.
I thought that was a fencing reference, but I was
that was real. This is real. This is real talk.
You were a soldier
for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could still whip his ass.
Be that you can be. No,
David would take me down.
Round one.
Yeah. I go down immediately. All right, so you were pitching $10 million company. They wanted a bunch of equity.
Yeah.
Probably like north of 30%.
They would have settled for 10.
Okay.
I was going for 1. Because for me, the idea was not to, raise the funding from Shark Tank. I was clear from, the moment I walked down the door, I knew that this is not the place I want to be in. It's very D2C oriented. If you see US Shark Tank as well, it's a lot of consumer products, right? That's where most of their interest is. And this is a deep tech, right? This is like trying to pitch, for the lack of better reference, a ChatGPT to Kevin O'Leary, right?
Yeah. That would be a Mark Cuban deal.
That would be a Mark Cuban deal, exactly. So we had, unfortunately, we had like 5 Kevin O'Leary's.
Yuck. Yeah,
it was brutal, man. It was Shark Tank in the truest sense. There was no Robert. There was no Mr. Good Guy.
So you needed to be a watch or a wine company. You would have been good.
Yeah. So that didn't work out, but the marketing side of it was fantastic. We got like close to about 4 or 5 million views on the pitch that released. That gave us the traction that we needed.
Nice.
And one of the Shark actually approached back. Story for another day.
Ooh.
The wraparound shark.
The tiger shark. So what's next for you guys? Are you waiting on more funding? Are you, developing everything you need to do? Like, what's next?
I guess at this point, the idea is to go out, meet as many photographers, understand their pain points and where AI can step in. I sincerely don't want to be making this thing in a silo somewhere, just being...
You don't want to become a developer.
No, because then you're having that myopic vision where you feel you've created the next best thing, but the reality is far from it, right? If this has to become a CRM solution, if this has to become some version of Studio Ninja going in, because, I'm tracking all those leads coming in and that has to result in some business, I need a CRM, I've got to go build that out. But I got to do it the smarter way, or I got to collab with companies who are doing it already. The future, as I see it, is exactly how Adobe makes it, right? You make one great product, you attract a lot of community to it. The community asks for something that someone's already there out building. You go ahead and acquire them. And you're, again, that one single umbrella that's helping you stay in that ecosystem. The ethos remains the same. So that's where I want to be headed, and we're working towards it, working as hard as we can.
That sounds pretty badass. I'm really impressed. Do you want to hang out more often?
You
I think we should. Should we go to India?
Let's go to India.
We're going next week.
Yeah.
When is that conference?
Are you for real? Going next week?
I kinda.
Yeah. It's a big conference, right?
I do
shit
like this.
The one that's happening in India, it's called Capturing WoW. It's our version of WPPI, if you would. So there's a lot of education going on. The market is phenomenally deep, right? So one of the my podcast, not my podcast, my session in that conference is going to be, I haven't figured out the right wordings yet, but it's going to be on the lines of how we crack $40,000 plus weddings consistently year on year. So that's, and $40,000 for a wedding is not unheard of in India. It's very common.
What's the average size of attendees at a wedding?
Attend what?
Like, how many the people? Average size of a wedding in India. Have you, like,
I mean, the big
research?
Ones could be maybe like 500, but most of them are now like 200, 250. So
does there exist a wedding under 50?
During pandemic, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right. You'd have to lock the country down, and then we settle for 50-person
wedding.
Still 50. So
man,
here,
I can't be
here's
left
kind,
at home.
Here's the kind of shit that was happening. So in pandemic, India had a rule that you could only have a gathering of 25 people at a conference, at a hotel convention hall, if you would. So what these guys would do, they can't stop at 25, right? They could care less about, why
spread.
The spread, because weddings for us is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they book the convention center, like they'll book the hotel under three different names, saying we are a party of 25. Second one, we are a party of 25. Third one says we are a party of 25. It's actually the same person. Now he's getting 75 people in for, but I mean, jokes aside, Indian weddings usually they've now settled to that sweet spot of 200 to 300 per, but the per capita spend, like the average spend per guest, is north of $3,000-$4,000. So your average Indian wedding is now running between $500,000 to $1 million. That's your
what? Yeah, that's crazy.
I need to move to India.
That's crazy.
How long? I gotta learn some new languages real quick.
That's all right. We speak English for the most part.
I mean, they do, but still better than you. I don't like going to foreign countries and like expecting everybody to speak my language. It's like a thing.
You'd be surprised. I have the only language we resort to when we have communication issues in India is English, because we have 27 national languages.
Never mind, I'm good.
Yeah,
you're good. You're sorted.
I was just trying to be polite, but yeah, screw it.
Oh yeah, I mean you're sorry, because we were a British colony for the most part, right? So we got that.
Who wasn't? I mean, come on.
Right,
we've got that daddy behind us.
We had our own version of Boston Tea Party, but those fuckers just ended up drinking the whole tea. So that's why we got stuck with them for a little longer than you guys.
British, those silly bastards.
Yeah.
We've got. I love the kind of banter between us and the British. You know, we just gotta fuck the Queen and
make sure
we
rest in peace, but fuck the Queen.
Yeah.
Freedom.
We're basically like cousins, but we don't like your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Well, man, thank you so much. It was great to meet you.
And where can people find more stuff about this technology? Like, where do they go?
So we're called Algomage. It's Algorithm Plus Image. So Algomage. A great guy just told me it could be pilgrimage to your images. Algomage.
Sounds like an awesome dude.
That guy must have been incredible.
Pilgrimage. Let's go on the pilgrimage, you know? You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, it's .com.
It's life-changing.
Yeah.
Pilgrimage. Have you been on a pilgrimage?
Apparently, I need to go to India and have a spiritual rebirth and on a health retreat for
I'm going to go North India big time.
Yeah, you find the best food there.
Need to find...
All right. That's the best food, North India.
100%.
Oh,
100%. If you have the appetite for spice, if you can handle your Mexican food, you can 100% handle your
Indian Mexico.
Food.
So
yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go.
I can handle it. Maybe.
We should have you guys over for a podcast. 100%. You'd be surprised. Yeah. I don't know if you tracked that already, but people back in India know you guys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You guys are in the top 5 of traffic, big time.
There you go.
Yeah. Shout out to all my Indian listeners out there. We love you guys. Love everyone.
Namaste from Las Vegas.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to chatting some more, and hope you have a good event next, what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks.
Yes.
Next month.
The one with Sanjay.
What's it called?
That's called
Wow.
Capturing Wow.
Capturing Wow.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks from now. And then we got like a whole bunch of things going on for the summer. So,
well, fuck yeah. All right, David, we're going to India.
Let's go.
Let's get out of here. We're going to be like the Beatles. Yeah. We're going to have a whole India era to us.
Let's do it.
Steve Jobs.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.